Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversary, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, poured up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us tonight for another session of Establishing Your Faith as we walk with the author and the finisher of our faith in the community of faith.
Amen.
And that's a whole lot of faith.
It is a whole lot of faith.
Here we go. Let's go to Facebook Live.
There's my notification.
There we go.
Hallelujah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, community.
Type like crazy. There's my notification.
It's been a beautiful Monday.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Monday. Yeah, beautiful.
38 degrees.
Absolutely beautiful.
Our birds were taking baths on the patio. They were so happy. Not that they don't do that when it's 10 below 2, but it had to have been nicer for us today.
It is the most interesting thing you've ever seen. Those little birds take a bath on a 0 degree day in the water.
Yeah. We have to keep breaking the water for them to drink, and they just jump in.
And they get up on the rung on the top of the porch, you know, railing, and they just shake and flutter and fly around like they had a brand new deal going.
So funny.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. That was a drumming. If you were not a part of this afternoon's program at noon, we encourage you to do so, because that was a powerful word on fasting. Absolutely powerful word on fasting.
Yeah.
And I encourage you to go study it. And, you know, it's interesting. People are noticing we're losing weight, so they're starting to ask, wow, what'd you do? Well, what we did was and consecrating ourselves to the things of God. It's a pretty powerful deal. And so if it's something you're like, hey, that's cool.
Love y'all.
Love you too, Rod. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Audrey.
I'm going to see what I can stir up. Your show now, press 1.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Hi, Audrey. Glad you're here. Is that me?
No, it's me.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Hi, everybody.
Howdy.
Hi.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Now, do I leave that there? I think I better leave it just like that. Yeah. Mute the mic. Yeah. All right. Everybody just chill out for a minute. All right. So if you're like, wow, what's going on here? Opposition. Blog Talk Radio quit right once we got going. And they're saying it's because we don't have any signal, but we got lots of signal. We got high-speed internet here, so it's not us. It's not on our end. And we're pushing out like crazy. So if Facebook and YouTube don't work for you, if Facebook doesn't, we don't have a problem with YouTube. Facebook doesn't work, then just leave them, come back over here and get into Zoom with us. YouTube will be up here in a little while. We really have to say this. If you're getting those messages from Facebook that says your comments are being banned because they don't match community standard, you know this night it doesn't have the community standard thing down there?
Mine does.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Mine doesn't. Huh. And what is against the community standard is any biblical reference that you put in.
Apparently.
All right. But they're not banning you and they're not keeping you away. So
no.
You can go back and make some more comments. Now, if you haven't done a backup on your Facebook account lately, I encourage you to do so. All right. Not because of me, but because of the instability of that organization and how foolish they're being. They start messing with people's stuff. So if you're someone that keeps a lot of pictures on your Facebook, you need to find one of your grandchildren with a computer that will help you make a backup of it and put it on a hard drive for you. Because then way you don't lose all your pictures that you have, all your comments, everything. It makes a really nice backup of it. That gives you the ability later to go through and pull down the pictures and all that stuff.
Or any special posts that you made.
Yeah. And so I just encourage you that you got to find one of your grandchildren. All right? Because it's a pretty easy thing to do. You just got to have somebody that knows how to click through it. And you need somebody with a computer, I'm pretty sure. You really need somebody that has a computer, because they got to be able to download it onto the computer and then put it on a flash drive for you. And I've never heard anybody doing it on their phone. Might be able to do it. And if you go watch a YouTube video that says This is how you back up your Facebook account with your phone. Just go search a YouTube video. They'll tell you how to do it. All right? If you have your own computer, do it yourself. But if this is all confusing to you, ask one of your grandkids.
Some of us may be more advanced. But
amen, Brother Roger.
Put scripture on Facebook all the time. Yeah.
Well, and I put scriptures on Facebook all the time. It's when they're here with this in this community of faith that they're getting banned.
Yeah.
And it's a you get an email that says, or a message, whatever, that says your posts are violating our community standard. Well, we know they ain't. We know you ain't. You can buy a device from Amazon that will work with your phone.
Oh,
that's really cool. Thank you.
Good, Ramona. Yeah.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Good to know.
And that's just us helping you know what to do. Because as this day goes continually on, and you and I are closer to the rapture, it's going to get really dark. And light is going to get really light. And the gray is going to be gone.
Amen.
So don't try to get close to light, darkness. Get so far into the light, you're not even seeing the darkness. Go so far away that darkness that it's not having its effect on you. And we'll stay right here and do this as long as we can and make things happen. Why? We're going to put the gospel in your hands so that you are very successful in these end times to make things happen. Now, for those of you that's on with us on Zoom, remember when we get started, make sure you got all your noise chain, you know, all your noise level down when we get started, so that when we open up the program doing the confession, saying our opening verses and everything, your screen's not making a lot of noise in the background, causing my screen to become you and your house. I don't have anything against you. I love every one of you. I love all y'all. But when that keeps jumping and people see it Zoom, then it's like, nah, I don't want to be a part of this. And who knows where we're going to be or what we're going to see. So we don't want to do that. But it's a powerful force that we have this process right here. Now, you started to say this. And had to deal with Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to preach a message tonight that's going to introduce a series, a six-series message set that's going to start tomorrow night, Tuesday, 8 February 2022. It's called Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. And I can't share it with Facebook and YouTube. I can only have it on Zoom, but all of you are welcome to come and be a part of the Zoom broadcast with us, all right? And I was actually in the taping of this teaching back in, I don't know, 2005, 2006, something. I was in the taping. It's an absolutely powerful series.
Oh my goodness, amazing.
And he deals with eternal judgment or eternal damnation and eternity in heaven and you and I and our part. And he cuts all the fluff and goes right to the core of the Bible. It's mm-hmm. a serious, serious revelation that really helps you understand the revelation. And they're only half-hour sessions, so we might be able to get two of them done in a night. I don't know. What I want us to do is just take this week and get it done. I'm sure you're going to have lots of questions. Get your notepad, get your pen, get your Bible, and show up early tomorrow night so that we're ready to just get into this thing and study it, because this is one of these series that you should continually study a couple times a year.
Oh yeah.
Because it helps cut out all the erroneous teaching that's in the body of Christ right now today in 2022 about hell. It eliminates the understanding about being a sinning Christian, and it's okay. It totally balances the grace movement into where it needs to be. And yet done with the greatest of the love of God. Brother John's heart is to love God and to help people come to an understanding. So I encourage you that tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 8 February 2022, you get here early. It's not going to be able to be on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. What's that?
To Zoom.
Come to the Zoom. I mean, I'll probably put a little post up on Facebook Live and YouTube Live that says, this is what we're doing. This is why you don't see us. Just so everybody out there knows what's going on. But I'm so serious about helping you and I get there. This is one of those teachings that changed my life forever. It wouldn't hurt you at all to spend a couple hours praying in the spirit before you got here so you are open to receive what God brings to us. It is literally as riveting as what the book of Revelation was for you.
Yeah.
And I just encourage you.
Maybe even more.
It's more because Revelation tells you about what's coming, and you and I know we're born again. We're going to be in heaven in the rapture. This series tells you whether or not you actually are going to be in that rapture and yeah. Whether or not you actually got to change some things about your life. But I'm going to tell you what this does. Dr. Barclay, last week, as we were in the Holy Spirit Conference, began to teach in Thursday morning session about searing your conscience. If you haven't listened to the Thursday session, I encourage you to listen to it because it's not Thursday night. It's Thursday morning session of the Holy Spirit Conference in San Diego because it would do you really good. Maybe we should do that tonight. Study that.
From the Holy Spirit Conference?
Yeah.
You guys want to study from the Holy Spirit Conference?
Wait, I have a message. Wait, everybody's like, do you really, Pastor? Yeah, I do. I really do. Thank you. Father in heaven, Jesus, glory be to God. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses that will lead to 27. It's amazing. The title of tonight is, if you obey and serve him. If you obey and serve him. But you know what? I think that's what we're going to do. And I can broadcast that to
Facebook
and YouTube. Because Pastor's not going to care about that. Brother John Osteen would say, people would ask him about his copyright. And he said, you have the right to copy, but you have to copy it right.
Well, and that's a serious point because a lot of them do pick up your stuff and then they kind of change things around.
And they said, what does that mean, Brother Osteen? He said, I give you the right to copy. I don't give you the right to sell.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, and if you're going to copy, in order to copy it right, you must make 25 copies and hand them out for free.
There you go.
That's powerful. And thank God for it. Well, don't worry about this 40 minutes of opening that we've just had. Nobody told us what they had for supper. And I already, wait.
Ramona
did and Rebecca did. But the rest of you need to tell us what you had for supper. We have a chat over here there it is. We got a chat over here with the folks on Zoom. And tell us what you had for supper real quick, because we only got a couple minutes and we're just going to go do this. The bottom line is we're just going to go do this.
Facebook is different from before. When I try to make comments, the screen moves up and I can't hear the program. Oh, no.
Who's this?
Mary had shrimp.
Who's this?
Mary.
Oh. Yes. Ramona, thank you for that. That there's a place that I can turn that off. I don't want anybody to have to fight to be able to talk at the end of the program, and I like to come back on and communicate. And I just, hallelujah, glory be to God. We'll all learn. All we got to do is learn and just respect our place and respect the whole situation. Yeah, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. I can tell right now this is going to be good. It's what we got to do.
Meat lovers, garlic crust pizza.
Woo! And lemonade.
Roger.
Brother Roger. Foxy. Woo! Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, we forgot to ask you what you had for supper. We always like Gwen's supper. This lady is one extraordinary chef.
Yeah.
Homemade chicken noodle soup with good noodles.
Oh, I love homemade noodles. I haven't made them.
I wonder what good noodles means to Brother Dan. Oh, my. How many are going to go to the Dan and Gwen Cottle House just for an afternoon for some good chicken noodle soup? I think it's awesome. All right, here's what we're going to do. Let me put this on. You don't have your thing again? Your co-hostness?
Yeah.
Nope, you do.
Where is it hiding?
Not sure where it's hiding. But tell it to come out.
Come out.
So, this is what I was going to do. Let's do this.
All right. What are we doing?
Let's do this.
All right.
How about we do this?
All right.
Let's start with our prayer. I'll have Sister Leanne lead it while I get YouTube hooked up.
All right. Father, we say.
Oh, no. Hold on. The confession prayer.
Oh. Good noodle is noodles are made from scratch. Amen, Roger. I love homemade noodles.
Share the screen.
So I have not made them in quite a while, but now
share
that
the screen.
I'm reminded, I think I'm going to have to do that. Get done. That sounds wonderful.
Share the screen. Is it there?
I
can't expand it because then I lose my ability to work on the computer.
Okay. All right.
Can you
here
see it?
Is what?
Can you see it?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Can everybody else see the opening prayer okay? I know we have a whole bunch of frames behind it. Pastor's working at getting that other program up so we can see the Holy Spirit conference, because that really is good.
And it's a perfect precursor to what we're going to see here this week.
Yeah. Okay, now your notes are in front of our prayer. There we go. Maybe we should just plan on doing that once a month, just streaming one of these other messages that are so
sure.
Amazing.
Sure.
Last month it was the Revelation series. This month it can be driven by eternity. It's just so powerful. Okay, everybody ready? This is the Community of Faith opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer today as your children, as the body of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today.
Today.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go.
Did you say you started your soup?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Next one.
The great cloud of witnesses. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. God bless America. And I want to say thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings on America already. We thank you for blessing this nation the way you have.
Bam! There it is. All right. Now, we're back over here. Let's go like this. Come on, don't, whatever you do, just stick with us. I'm serious about this. Tonight, we're going to do Dr. Barclay tonight, and it is a perfect precursor to what he's going to say in the next six sessions over the next 2 or 3 days. You're going to love every bit of this. The commanded blessing of unity. You and I say it together. Proclaim it like an ambassador. Like you're the ambassador, and you're representing your homeland, heaven, here. Proclaim this like an ambassador in a foreign nation. Remember, we're pilgrims, we're sojourners, patriots just moving through. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life evermore. Say it. I receive the commanded blessing of God. God, this isn't just a blessing. God commands a blessing. Ephesians 4. God, Jesus is going to tell us, or the Holy Spirit is going to tell us through Paul what the body looks like. You ready? There is one body, one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Here's what the body looks like, the fivefold ministry and the body functioning together to create Jesus on the earth. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the result, so that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning craftiness.
In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love.
In love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Somebody shout a big amen.
Amen.
A big amen. Now, let me get back to this, and I want to get started right away. Watch this. Every time I come here and teach, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's by the flow of the Holy Spirit. Now, Dr. Sutton added a whole bunch of stability to our foundation in biblical understanding of God's holy word, the whole book. Because he doesn't just teach Bible prophecy, or he doesn't just teach the book of Revelation. He teaches you Bible prophecy from the prophets all the way through the Bible. Okay? When Brother John Bevere starts tomorrow, and Dr. Barclay right now, this is one of the most interesting things that happens to you and me, okay? And it's God designed. As you listen to me and you receive and you're here and you're part of this and you're just receiving and you're a part of this and you're just going and doing and being in God and receiving and you're a part of this, all right? As that's happening, you're getting line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little. When you hear somebody else anointed by the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're teaching you on the same issue, it brings all of that we've already taught from the Holy Spirit alive on the inside of you. Yeah. And on the inside, you're like, man, I never heard this before. Well, I can pretty much guarantee that you have heard it before. But this is just how God works. That's why he's got the fivefold ministry. The apostle, a sent one. The prophet, who is the voice of God to put his thumbs on things, get things changed. The evangelist, which is the longest finger on your hand, is the evangelist. And because he's got the longest reach all over the whole world. The pastor is the one with the ring finger on. He's married to the church. Right? And then the little finger is the itchy ear where the teacher gets in and digs out the stuff and helps you get yourself in order. Get your paper and pencil out and take some notes right now. Right now. Right now. Because you're going to want to take some notes right now. Check it out. I did it. I got them to start at the same time.
Hallelujah.
All right? Now, Dr. Barclay is going to be talking about your spiritual weapons, stability as a believer, and he's going to talk about a seared conscience. You want to listen to this. Take some notes. When we're done, we're going to come back and we'll take some questions on this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. That's something. Don't tell me we don't have an enemy.
And they want the best for all of us. Thank you for putting partnership in their hearts, that they are called by you to strengthen us. Thank you for the amens that are genuine. When we preach and when we work and when we are in the holy desk, the pulpit. Thank you for those who sacrifice. They could spend their money on anything, but they help us preach the gospel to the last day's generations. Oh, how we honor you and we praise you this morning. Bless these who are preachers. They are pastors. They are the fivefold ministry. We honor you in that. Strengthen them. May they be encouraged today to keep going. Not just these in the house, but all these that we know, these that are streaming, these by television. We honor you. We love you. We thank you that there are people all over this planet that have said yes to you. Yes and amen. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll preach. Yes, I'll help your people. And I pray an anointing upon them today. If you're in the fivefold ministry, I really feel this tug on my heart right now. If you're in the fivefold ministry, and you know, I kind of tease, but I like to say, and someone knows it besides you, you know, I didn't say you wanted to be. I said, if you're in the fivefold ministry, I want you to come to the altar and just stand with me. Father, let a sweet anointing fall on us. We know we're called. We know we're equipped. We know we bear your name. We know what our duties are. And we know we're anointed for it. We know that. We're anointed for it. We didn't make this up. You commissioned us. You called us and commissioned us to preach your word, to help your people, and even the ones that are hard to help. But I pray today, this morning, a refresher. Like a refresher anointing to fall upon us, adding to what we've got. And I pray this anointing that will cause us to enjoy what we do. There are so many robbers and thieves, joy thieves, and they take the enjoyment out of our lives. But this is the highest call, or among the highest call on the planet, to be able to have a place in your kingdom to speak and to pray and to help and to have authority. I pray that refreshing to come on us right now, the strength to come on us. Whether our dreams have come true or not, whether the vision has manifested fully or not, hope deferred, that's a vision that hasn't worked yet. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's called dismay. I just feel like from time to time, Lord, all of us in your pulpit have to fight off this luminous cloud of dismay and just keep on working, praying, preaching. There's not a person standing in this altar, Master, that hasn't been deserted, betrayed, unlawfully criticized, accused, guilted by accusation, left behind, promises by others not kept, and we all have become experts at fighting off lies, liars, malicious gossips, hypocritical liars, slander, tale-bearing, and keep on marching. Thank God. I want to thank you this morning, Jesus, that not all of your people are nasty. They're not all backslidden. They're not all liars. They're not all cheaters. There are many, many believers that live your life. And we rejoice. And may all the others get fixed. We don't cast them out like wolves. We want them fixed. We want them healed. May they get out of their nasty and get out of their rebellion and be Bible people. Help us to win souls and make disciples. I want to talk to you for a minute. Listen, if everything we're doing, spending money on, praying, programs, of course, have the most programs. If it's not redemptive, stop it. That's my advice to you. Redemptive means if it's not producing souls or making disciples, it's a worthless program. So, you're all preachers, so you got to have a nursery at the church. You're probably not going to have a crusade in there, right? So it's a necessary tool, right? And to pray over those workers in that nursery that they're anointed. But I just keep picking this up. A lot lately. What are we all doing and spending time and money on that isn't winning any souls, and it's really not making our disciples any more disciples? And you can get stuck in the rut and think that we did great today, but we really didn't win anybody. Well, you probably did, you just don't know about it if you're on, if you're being recorded and streaming, and we have no idea, so don't take that too far. But I think you know exactly. I see you all nodding. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So my challenge this morning, even to me, I woke up with this challenge in my heart. Because I am probably stretched about as thin as a human being can be. We got so much stuff going on globally and nationally and ministry. And I just felt the challenge this morning. And I thought it was for me. You know how you wake up, you pray, I thank you, Lord, for helping me and correcting me and showing me. And then when I got in here and Faith started singing, I felt that anointing come for all of us. So my friendly challenge to you would be, let's re-examine everything we're spending time and money on. Let's just take a new look. Right? Now let's not go ballistic and go crazy and follow the crazies. But is that a fair challenge?
Yeah. Very good.
Let's take a look at every, because we're in charge. We're in charge. We're the preachers. We're the pastors. We're the fivefold. And let's take a look and say how, and I even look at people, right? We're commanders. Any good leader cares about those that are helping him. It's top on the list. Most churches spend the most money on personnel, either supplying for the church family, like, people that work, or staff. So I count that as an expenditure. How am I spending my staff? What do they got their hands on? What are we really doing? Right? Now, I think I should say this. One of my real key staff people, I have one of the best staffs on this planet, and I am not joking. And one of them came to me, and I don't hire people and then not listen. Now, if I hire someone to do this job, then go do the job. I'm not going to do it for you. I hired you to do it. But if you have, key leadership around you. So this is a key guy. He come. He said, Brother Barclay, I just want you to know that this thing, this project we're doing, is not only are we not making any money, but it's costing us money. I said, I know that. We're anointed to spend God's money. That's your number one anointing. When it comes to, running the ministry, I mean, we're anointed to spend God's money. Who else is going to spend God's money? God's anointed us. He's called us to be the steward of God over everything. His buildings, his people, his treasury, his money, the offerings. Of course. Now, if we start gauging that we're not making money and that's why we're going to prune something, that's going to get us in big trouble. Because we go by obedience, not by fruit. Right? We don't go by produce. We're not produce-minded. We're obedient. So when we, I felt like saying that because when we get into this, we don't want to do this like a businessman. A businessman has to do that. That's the arena for a woman, businesswoman. That's the arena they live in. They better do the calculus. But in our case, we're not going to go and examine and get rid of things that, that aren't making any money. We're going to go and look at how are we spending the people, how are we spending God's money, and how are we spending the time, the effort in our churches, if you're a pastor. And what has to go? What is, here's the key again. What is not winning souls or making disciples? Our disciples, if we're taught pastor for a minute. Wave at me if you're a pastor up here. Okay? Not everybody, of course. Now, pastors, just because we feed the flock and pitch the hay doesn't mean anybody's growing. It doesn't mean they're getting it. It doesn't mean they're getting better. My take is we have to do a calculus ever so often of what we're worth. What is our worth? What impact am I making? Is this church growing spiritually? Are these people better disciples this year than they were last year? And is that really my, is there something in my pulpit ministry or my leadership? They're not growing because of me, or they're not growing because of them? Now, if they're not growing because of them, all I can do is bring that to their attention. Hey, I don't think you're taking notes. I don't think you're listening. I don't think you're going out and doing this. You know, you might even have to have some special, you know, adjustment. Get the ratchet out, tighten up some bolts, right? But a lot of times it's us. We just think we can go in the pulpit, preach a little Bible, say hallelujah, take an offering, sing a song, and go home. And all of that, very permissible, is part of our duty. But it doesn't mean we're stretching anybody, right? Now, here's my fight. I'll call it a fight. I've been preaching since the 70s. I probably have 2,000 sermons that I have made that I've never preached through my studies, and God interrupted me and never did get to it or get through it. I make it a point. I did not have to stay up all night last night or get up 3 hours early this morning. Here, just let me finish. To have something to say. I'm a walking catalog of things to say. When you study for 40-some years the same topics, I don't need to sweat it out this morning. Oh, my God, what am I going to say when I get there? You have to sweat it out that I stop on time. Right? Which is another problem with making disciples if you don't know when to stop. I probably should deal with that, but I think I'll leave it alone because right now you're all my friends. I remember my pastor, John Osteen. He said, Mark, until you can get everything done in 30 minutes, keep practicing. You're rusty. 30 minutes is perfect. By the way, if you ever went to homiletical class, pastor, preachers, you know, you should have all of those lines of homiletics as a science. Now, you can go past 30 minutes. It's not like the limiter, you know. But a lot of pastors, maybe that's one of the things we...
Okay, now, I have to introduce something here. Because I selected the wrong video. Help my notes because they're going to type in verses and everything. And I'm on the wrong day.
I kind of wondered.
All right. So it's all right because it's all good. So that's ready. So you got a good opportunity to hear pastor talking to some pastors. That's wonderful. It's always a good thing. And we'll put those guys over there. And we'll bring these guys in here. And are you ready? We're going to pick up right where he left off. Wow, how cool is that?
You want to pray in the spirit with me? If you're not spirit-filled, this is your moment of time. Just say, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Ghost. Give me my prayer language. Give me my prayer language. Thank you, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good to see everybody. Thanks for being part of the conference. Can you believe us the last Adam that God was God and Satan was Satan, but man can be a third God.
Right.
But there is no third Godship in the earth.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good to see everybody. Thanks for being part of the conference. Can you believe us the last day?
Yeah.
How many of you have been here for everything? Anybody? Yeah, wow, look at you.
Wow.
That is awesome. How many have been here since you've been here?
Yeah.
I got a better, how many of you are here this morning?
You know you're here.
Yeah, thanks, and you know you're here. That helps, yeah. 1 Timothy.
There it is.
I want you to go there, please. Put a bookmark. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I woke up with these things. You know, my life is pretty full at this time in my life. You know, before the sun came up, I was connected with government leaders and preachers. And one of my sons in the faith, his wife went to heaven this morning. And, you know, it's just, we're in combat now.
Amen.
These are the last days. It really is. They really are. Timothy 1, if you would please go there, put a mark of ribbon, anything but your bubble gum. And then I want you to go over to Psalm 144, the 144th Psalm. Don't you love the book of Psalms?
Yes, I do.
If you'd read the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms regularly, you would know how to walk with God and man.
Oh, that's good.
You do. They'll teach you what God expects, and they'll teach you how to deal with every level of humans.
Oh.
That's really good. Psalm 144. As soon as I find it, we're going to read it. And I know it's in here. I've looked at it before. Praise God. Praise God. Help us, Lord, just for a few minutes today as you distribute the word of God into our soul. I'm going to read a verse to you that you may think is crazy, but I ran with Marine Corps shooters, and believe it or not, I don't think any of us knew there was a God, let alone knew God. But we quoted this verse all the time.
Yes.
I never looked at it in the Bible, and probably for a while I didn't even know it was a Bible verse, but now I do. And I'm going to read it to you because it fits us today. And it's in verse 1, Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You ought to box that. You ought to highlight that right now because that's a key verse for us in the last days. Because like never before, we now are in a level of life combat. People dying all around us. You notice the earth is emptying itself.
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to heaven like I've never heard before at a rapid rate.
Amen.
It's sad for us when we lose a loved one, but it's good for them.
Right.
That means they crossed over. You and I have yet to cross over.
Yes.
You and I don't know what bridge will be used to pluck us off the earth and deposit it in the streets of glory. We don't know what it will be, but it will be.
It will.
If the Lord comes, hallelujah, I'm ready. See you there. I'm not suicidal, but I'm ready. I'm ready. I could go. I don't want to go because I got things to do here for God. Amen.
You say, well, you don't want to go to heaven, Doc. I mean, your kids, your grandkids, man, they'll be good. They'll be good.
Yeah.
And if the Lord comes, they're going with me.
Right.
I think.
Amen.
I hope. I pray. It's a great verse for us to say, Lord, we need your blessing.
Amen.
Now, the blessing is the anointing. It's the tool chest. It's the armament. Hear me. And it's the permission from heaven to function as an earth warrior.
Come on.
It's permission from heaven to function as an earth warrior. But I don't want to just be an earth warrior. I want to be a conqueror. I'm an earth conqueror, aren't you? So we're not just in the battle. We're not just warriors fighting life through. Now, if you don't fight life through, you're not going to live very happy, very strong, very healthy, very full. You're probably going to die early. You'll wish you died early because the torment comes. Because anytime you and I decide to no longer push forward and fight, it's a form of surrender. It's a form of giving. Now, instead of you and me fighting under the permission of God to function as warriors, we have submitted to Satan now to do what he wants in our life because we just quit. We just quit. I can't ever understand why people don't just get this good and evil thing.
Yeah.
Everything we do, I mean, look at every sports game you ever play. Aren't there two opposing forces?
Right.
Doesn't one win and one lose?
Right.
Don't you got to give it all you got if you want to be the winner?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Our whole life is set up between this and that, good and evil, opposition, overcoming, winning. So why would we not factor that into our Christianity? Yeah, we're at war. I don't say this because I'm a Marine or I'm a former military active. No, that's not why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because the Bible constantly. I had a conversation with a real high-ranked military leader in our country, and I said, you know, sir, there's no more complete war book than the Bible.
That's the truth.
Especially for civilians. Now, you go to war college and they have things just written. But, you know, where are you going to go where you have a collection of information and instructions about your enemy, your army, your rank and file, your equipment, the weapons of your warfare, the armor of God? Look out for the adversary, how to recognize your enemy, how to use your weapons, how to make sure you're giving no place in your camp for the enemy.
Right.
I mean, it's like on and on and on. This book, the Bible, was given to us as instructions to go to war in the earth so we can live the life that God wants us to live. It's really quite simple, so I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but you know, on the planet. You belong to one or the other, right? You're a citizen of one or the other. One's the region of the damned, and one's the kingdom of heaven. Or I should say the kingdom, God's kingdom in the earth. God said so. It's only two. There's only two ways to live on the earth, with God or with the devil. There's no in-between. See, Satan tried to teach Adam that God was God, and Satan was Satan, but man can be a third God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there is no third Godship in the earth.
Right.
You and I are nothing, hear me, but pawns. You're puppets.
Right.
I'm a puppet. You like the word? Yeah, let's spiritualize it. Vessel.
Vessel.
Temple.
Yeah.
Servant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you are. That's all I am. So today, your mouth, mine. Your mind, your hands, your efforts, your talents, your abilities, your education, your duties will all be manipulated constantly either by Satan or God, depending on who you're allowing to use your mouth, your mind. But you got to get this straight. Because the fallen nature of man, we are slowly taught that you just call your own shots. You got to do what you got to do. I mean, what am I going to do? I got to do what I got to do. I'm sorry, Pastor, but this is what I got to do. I mean, I'm in trouble, so I just got to do what I got to do. And it's a Godship. And one of the biggest problems and weaknesses I see among warriors, Christians, is when we take lordship back from Jesus and start calling our own shots,
right.
Coming and going when we want to, do what we want to, forgive who we want to, don't forgive who we don't want to. And it just starts to reset us back up that, hey, we call you Lord, but really I'm just calling my own shots.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of my life. I do what I want to do. I don't do what you want to do. I say I do what you want to do. My, one of my, you may know this name. I know Pastor knows, knew Charles Capps. Charles Capps was one of my very, very best friends. And we were real close. And I love a lot of things Charles Capps wrote and said, okay? But I like this statement that he always said. Many people are saying the sayings of Jesus and his doings, but only few do any of his sayings.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Is that simple, powerful?
Yeah, it is.
That is powerful.
So God has set us up in the earth so much he loves you. You're set up for good. You have armor. You don't have to take the blow of Satan and get knocked down and stay on.
Amen.
Put your armor on. We taught on that since we've been here.
Right.
You have weapons. You're not weaponless. You're not weaponless. You're not in a battlefield, and your commander, Jesus Christ, said, I'm sorry, there's no weapons for you. Do you your best as
right.
a human.
Yeah,
no. And in case you haven't calculated this part, every square inch of planet Earth is a war zone, including your house.
Right.
Why? Because Satan has declared war on you. It doesn't mean he gets to win. Anywhere you go now on this planet, as long as you're on the planet, you're in a war zone, according to your enemy. Now, you can do something about that. Or you can just, as I say, just keep getting the snot knocked out of you. Keep getting knocked down. Keep getting kicked around. Just live in depression, discouragement, poverty, debt, lack, anxiety, fear. Because that's what the elements of war will do to you if you don't fight back. So when we take this verse and say, blessed be the Lord my God, bless me with strength, bless me and my hands, now that doesn't just mean your real hands, fingers, bless be, let's just modernize it. Lord, bless me to fight and win. Help me to be a good soldier of the cross. Isn't that what the Bible says? War, a good warfare. Let's turn over to Timothy for a minute now. I hope you mark that verse and you'll please go back to it. Amen. It's a powerful verse because you're asking God to give you the permission to function as a warrior and give you the ability to win. Christians don't want battles. Humans don't want battles. We want to live free, but you're never going to on earth, sinner or saint. You're going to be at war all of your life. There's always going to be something to attack your mind, attack your body, attack money, attack your marriage, attack your lover, your spouse, attack your children, attack your church, attack your business. He is a relentless enemy. And if you think for a second, maybe a minute, if you can live on this planet without warfare and think that from here on we love God, we have faith, praise God, we went to the Holy Spirit Conference, I'll never have a problem again. Wait till noon. Because out there, Satan is already, he's personally designed a disease for you, a drunk driver to crash you, right? Somebody to run you over, somebody to steal your kids and sell them on the slave market. That's his plan. That's his plan. And he's already planning it. Why would we let him do that? When we don't have to submit to him for 1 second, praise God. Not even a second, man. 1 Timothy 1, I asked you about there. I hope you did it. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 18. I think you know these particular verses are very popular. It says in verse 18, this charge. Charge? Yeah. That word charge doesn't mean like, hey, let's charge the enemy. It means command.
Yes.
The first rule of war, is know who your commander is, who you take orders from, and then you know the rules of engagement.
Yes.
If you don't know that as a Christian, then this right here says, this charge, this is the apostle talking to a pastor. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Let me modernize it. Timothy, I command you. Too many pastors suggest things instead of taking command for us. We're not a cult, and may you never be one. So it's not at that level like you're nobodies and you just do what you're told. But we've got to have leadership now that can call the right shot because our lives are depending on it now. There's not much luxury left of your choices. Well, I get to do this or that.
Right.
I get to go to church or not, pay my tithe or not, forgive my brother or not. No, when you're at this tight of combat and the enemy's right here, those choices, those luxury choices are gone.
Right.
It's life or death.
Yes.
When we're that close to the enemy's, you know, positioning, then we've got to have some really good command force in our church, in our pulpits. Amen. I didn't hear a lot of amens on that, but I think that probably needs to be defined, but not today. This charge I commit unto thee, Timothy. I'm the apostle, Timothy, and I command you.
Wow.
That's what this is saying.
Powerful.
This is your apostle, Pastor Timothy, and I'm putting this command on you. And according to the prophecies which went before on thee, now here's the word. That thou by them mightest war a good warfare.
Yes.
Then he gives us a hint. I love hints. Don't you?
Yeah.
Holding faith, which simply means trusting God. Faith just means you trust God more than you. Lack of faith, you trust you more than God. More faith, you trust God more than you. A real lack of faith, you'll trust Satan, who's lying to you with fear. And you'll trust fear. You'll calculate, I say it this way. You'll calculate the out. Oh, that could cost us. I don't know, what if we make the wrong decision? I don't know. I love God, but what if he's not there? What if it doesn't work? What if God's a failure again? What if God never shows up again? I got to have a plan. I mean, I can't trust God. So I got to have a plan B. Plan A, I'll listen to the pastor, the Bible, God. I'll trust God. Plan B, I better have a plan B because I don't really know if I can trust God.
Wow.
Nobody I know says that. But a lot of people live it. They think it. Holding faith. In other words, I'm still trusting God. And look at this. And a good conscience. Huh? A good conscience. Which, I'm reading slow on purpose, some having put away, they discharged it, they kicked it to the curb, concerning faith, and they've made shipwreck. They made shipwreck. I'd like to teach on this thoroughly, but I'm just going to relate to it for a second. Every human being has a conscience. God gave it to them. It's part of the human structure in creation. I've heard him say about bad and evil people, man, that guy don't even have a conscience. Yeah, he does. So do you. Why does the Bible say some have seared their conscience? Huh? Like with a hot iron, a scar, a burn scar. That's what he's saying. So you have a conscience. So do I. But what if it's seared? Or another verse in the New Testament says there are those Christians, they have defiled their conscience. That means you allowed yourself to dirty your inner man and then tell yourself it's okay for whatever reason. You justify, well, I know someone else that does it and they serve God. And I even had people say, I know a preacher that sinned like that and he's still in the ministry. So, or, you know, I know what I'm doing is bad, but it's not that bad. You're defiling, you're dirtying your own soul. Now, let me tell you why this is. Are you still with me? Is this okay?
Yeah.
If your conscience is clear and clean, it's part of your warfare package. So saddle up. Let's go to war. How? Remember all your prophecies. Take the command force from your church leadership. That's what Timothy was being told to do from the apostles. And then your good conscience and your trust in God. And it's like, okay, let's go to war. Because that's what makes this a good warfare. Now, your conscience was given to you to produce two things. Conviction and guilt. It was given to you and me to be convicted because that's a postponement of error, mistake, sin. So when your conscience is clean and clear before God, anytime you go to sin with anything, your money, your hands, your mouth, whatever you call it, your inner man, your conscience will say, no, 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 no. We don't do that. We don't talk like that. No, 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 no. That's the beauty. Your conscience is always with you, and it's one of the very best friends you could ever have. Because you go nowhere without your conscience. Nowhere. You can't lay it down and say, I'm going here to sin, you stay home. So your conscience is supposed to produce conviction. Now, that goes both ways. Your conscience, your inner man, this part of your inner man will convict you to stop doing things the Bible says no, but it will also convict you to get off the couch and get your blessed assurance to God's house. So the conviction works. Conviction says stop on the no-nos, and it says, come on, let's get going. You know better. Let's go. Let's serve God. And you can get pushed either way, conviction. But what if your conscience is seared? It's the best way I know to illustrate it. And we've all walked through this. You're probably walking through it now because it's a daily event. I have some scars on my body from times past. Now, if I was to close my eyes, let's just say, yes, I'm just for illustration, it's right here on this arm. If I was to close my eyes and say, my daughter Zane here, Zane, I'm going to close my eyes and I want you to touch this side of the scar where there's some hair follicles and hair. Now, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to tell you something. If she goes really slow, the hair will pick up her up.
Got me.
The hair will pick up the touch before the skin ever touches. That's how sensitive it is. But if you go up to here where there, no hair grows because it's been damaged permanently, well, by the grace of God, I'll get healed. But, you know.
Jesus.
Then when you, now if I said, Zane, touch that, I won't know.
Yeah.
There's no pre-warning
until
skin touches skin.
Yeah.
And then, and it depends on the depth of the scar of how hard you got to press before I know you touched
it.
It's there. But even if you don't press hard, it's not sensitive. The scar,
ooh.
So no pre-warning.
Wow.
That's a conscience. That's why the Bible's so severe about you and me living in holiness and purity and honesty. That's why the New Testament says cleanse yourself, purify yourself, you know, in God, sanctify yourself. Yes, that's why, because you're in the battlefield and you have to be ultra sensitive to the touch of God, the voice of God, and everything else all around you. Now, defiled conscience is worse. We'll touch on that in just a second. The seared conscience?
Result. So that...
Remember I said a conscience produces conviction, but also guilt. Why guilt? Because God built into you, knowing the fallen nature of man, that you would push past his warnings. You would push past, at times, you and I will push past the don'ts. Don't do that. Don't say that. Even if conviction comes, you say, well, I've heard many people, I know what I did was wrong. I know what I said was, thank God. But why do you feel guilty? because you're guilty.
Yeah.
This young guy in my church came to me a while back, Pastor Sam, and he said, Brother Barclay, I'm feeling really guilty about something I did, but I heard so-and-so, named the name of the preacher, heard so-and-so on TV that you should never feel guilty about anything.
Well,
I said, let me just ask you a question, son. Are you guilty? Yeah. I said, well, then you feel guilty.
Yeah.
See, when I'm wet, I feel wet. When I'm dry, I feel dry. When I'm cold, I feel cold. When I'm warm, I feel warm. And when you're guilty, you feel guilty. And you know why you feel guilty? Because of God's help, your best friend inside of you called your conscience is telling you, you pushed past the perimeters and you have broken the rules. And without guilt, what would stop you?
Yeah.
What would ever guide you and me?
Amen.
See? I hope you're quiet because you're listening to me and I'm not boring you.
Yeah. Good word.
Now, what if I defile my conscience? What does that mean? It means I've taken this friend that God gave me from creation, from birth, just to guide me through life, fed by the word of God, cleansed by the word of God. So it's a pretty good friend to have when it's clean. But what if I believe something? By the way, the worst soiling of the soul is not some act of outward sin. It's philosophy, psychologies, error, and heresy. The pollutants that come through even preaching and teaching from wrong preachers and teachers or right preachers and teachers that all of a sudden have drifted to the field of wrong. But because you love them, that's what's so dangerous. You love them, you supported them, you've been one of their partners, you like them, all they've done is ever bless you, but they're teaching what now? What are we drifted to? And you make an excuse. And the pollutant goes in your soul. So now, when you sin, your dirty conscience says, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're saved by grace.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. God doesn't care how you live. He died for you. See, that's a pollutant. That's a dirty soul. A dirty conscience, a defiled conscience is one where you and I have taught ourselves that biblically wrongdoing, wrong living, wrong talking, wrong feeling is now okay. We have a reason. And some people, they are so defiled, they go find verses and stretch them and twist them to make sure their conscience stays defiled.
Yeah.
I woke up, this has been about a year and a half ago, one morning, and the Lord talked to me and he said, I have a problem. Now, I don't know where you go. When I hear something like that, I don't go to, yeah, tell me what it is and I'll go fix them. I go to, oh, my Lord, what have I done? What are you talking about? My second thought was, if God has a problem, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
He said, I have a problem. I said, what could that be, Master? He said, I have a whole army of voices in my holy desk literally now teaching my people how to defile their own conscience and enjoy it. And teaching that you never say you're sorry. Now, I know the sorry word, but you never are sorry. All the way to there's no judgment day. There's just. And that comes in here and goes in here, and it reteaches your conscience from a cloudy, muddy, dirty. But in the natural, you'd never go to a muddy hole and dip it and drink it. Why would you do it when it comes to the things of God? You wouldn't, on purpose, I would think. So this is talking about warfare. Let me add this to it for a second. A lot of people pray that they get a prophetic utterance. Be careful. All it does is cause us war. All prophecy does is cause you battle.
Yes.
The minute you get an utterance from God, from the holy man, the holy woman, every demon says, oh, pinpoint that person. We got to make sure that don't come to pass. Let's go to war. That's why this is telling you and me that when you do get an utterance, it doesn't have to be a thus saith the Lord. It might be, I appoint you to be an usher. I appoint you to be in charge. You're going to have this. It could be that kind of an utterance, a prophetic permission to function utterance. And Satan says, "We're going to, that, we can't have that. We can't have that." You can go to church forever, and if you never call your pastor pastor, and you never believe he really is yours or her, and you, and then that's one thing. You're just in a, you're in attendance. You're in attendance. But when you get to the place where you say, "That's my pastor," and he says, "That's one of my soldiers," Satan says, "We'll see about that." There's never been, wait a minute, come on. There's, you may like your dentist and you may not. And you may like your doctor and you may not. And you may not, you may like the guy, the dry cleaners, and you may not. But there's never been any spiritual warfare to separate you from any of that. But the minute you say, "That's my church, my pastor, I belong here," begin for war. Begin for war. Because Satan's going to say, "We're going to see about that." But what if I'm not afraid of war? What if I, what if I'm not afraid to live? What if I'm not afraid to go out of my house? What if I'm not afraid to? What if I'm not afraid to? What if I'm not? Then I'm gonna live. Everybody say, "I'm gonna live."
I'm gonna live.
That's the same phrase as saying, "I'm going to war."
Right.
Because you, because there's a devil and an army of demons, my friend. None of us get to live for free.
Right.
There's no free living on planet Earth. None. Zero. I guess there is in heaven. Not there yet. But it sounds like no job for me there. But down here, you have to live.
Right.
Now, I started to say this. There's only two ways to live. With God or without Him. Notice I didn't say the believe word.
Yep.
Well, I met Jesus. Cool. So there's rich young ruler. So the Pharisees, Sadducees, and a whole Jewish nation that rejected him. So I guess meeting Jesus isn't probably the entire program. Well, I've accepted Jesus. Did you know there's no verse that says he needs to be accepted?
Come on. Truth.
You're supposed to give him your life. He gave his life for you. You're supposed to give your life now to him, which means been purchased, which means not your own. So who gave you permission to design your life? Who gave you permission to just do what you want? Be what you want? You don't have any, you don't have any, you're going to do that probably, I guess, but you don't have any permission to do it. The minute you were born again, someone should have told you, "Now be careful what you pray. I'm going to lead you to the Lord, but if you don't want to give him your life, don't pray the prayer."
Yep, right.
Because then you'll be in high treason.
Yeah.
And Satan will know you made some verbal commitment that changes the whole course of man's souls, but you're not going to live up to it because all you really want is his benefit and escape hell. So I want to be born again, but I'm not going to live for him. I'm going to do what I want and ask him to be my sugar daddy. Man, I'm preaching good this morning.
Real good.
I thought on the last day of the conference, you could just lay it out there.
Hallelujah.
We're just talking about living. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Yeah, you do. You're living it. Just look how you're living. Look at your problems. Look at your weaknesses. Look at your decisions, just like I do. Look at your blessings. Look where you're not. And it's all self-defining. And then you can, you don't need a prophet or even a pastor or a best friend Christian to judge yourself, to examine yourself, to say, why is this happening? How long has it been since I went to the altar and said, "You know, Lord, I know you bought me. Am I doing what you want?"
That's good. Come on. Yes.
I couldn't help myself. It probably wasn't the totally right thing to do, what I'm about to say. But we were driving into the city, and we came behind a car, and the guy had a great big old bumper sticker that says, "Jesus is my co-pilot."
Oh, boy.
So I said, "Follow that car." To the driver. We didn't even know where he was going. We followed him, He finally parked. I tried to get out and grabbed him, but he ran into a building. So I took my magic marker and X'd out Cole.
No way.
So when you looked at the bumper sticker, it says, Jesus is my pilot.
Yeah. Right.
No joke, yo-yo.
Come on, man.
Huh. But that bumper sticker is saying about all of it. I am God. Jesus is my helper.
Yeah.
I'm in charge. Jesus is my helper. I do what I want. Jesus is my helper. I'm the pilot. I decide what we're doing today, but Jesus is my little helper. And it's just such a twisted saying, I had to go fix it. I scratched out the co. Not your co-pilot.
We need to make a mistake.
Yeah. I don't see any bumper sticks hardly anymore. I think Christians don't want to tell anybody anymore. God's in my vessel. God's in my... I'm just being sassy now, I guess. But. So if we take these verses about warfare, which is life. I keep saying that because I don't want you to get this picture like, yeah, we're talking about spiritual warfare, the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God. Yeah, hoorah. And then we go out and live. I'm talking about living. God is talking about living, not some little supernatural 1 hour that we're going to go witness in the street or try to make two services in a week's period and not just Sunday. We're talking about combat is living, my friends. Don't you know this by now? The pain of life is in living. And that's where Satan strikes. So the other day we talked about the weapons of our warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:25. That they're not natural. They're only mighty through God. What's that mean? Well, one of the weapons is the word of God.
That's right.
But you know, the Bible literally says the letter killeth. It's the spirit that gives it life. You can own a Bible, every version, and the 6 perversions, and carry it and read it and memorize it and get no power from it whatsoever. Because it's only mighty through God. It's not mighty on its own. It's just a book on its own. It's a great book. It's the greatest book. It's the most read book among human race. It's a book of education. It's a book of history. It's a book of religion. But without the Holy Spirit in your life, powerless. Greatest information book on the planet. It won't work for you just because it's a great book. See, the weapons of my warfare, they're not natural. They become powerful only through God. Everything's relational. Everything has to do with walking with God. You got the greatest weapons. I illustrated, you might or might not have been here that day, I illustrated Sceva and his sons.
Right.
One of the greatest illustrations in the Bible that you can't just use the name of Jesus as some little clicky password.
Come on.
Right. Amen.
The name of Jesus does not work automatically. This is one of the illustrations. Those boys, I'm going to say it again, the sons of Sceva were trained. They knew their pastor, which must have been Paul. They knew their daddy's teachings. They ran into a man with a demon. They knew he had a demon.
Yes.
Most people today can't even pick out a demon in a human. They're drinking with them, smoking with them, doing business with them, sleeping with them. I mean, these kids knew that guy had a demon. They knew it had to come out. They couldn't just go home. They couldn't say, hey, to the brothers, hey, that guy's got a demon, man, let's get it. No, they knew it had to come out. They couldn't leave it alone. They used the name of Jesus. They quoted their pastor as well. You come out in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That is the nuclear weapon.
Yes.
You come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. All they were saying is, that's what our pastor taught us.
Right, yeah.
We watched him do it.
Yeah.
That Jesus. And those demons said, we'll know you. We know Jesus. We even know Paul.
Yeah.
Paul casts us out, we come out. But who are you bossing us around? You don't have a relationship with God to be able to use his name against us. But see, in modern Christianity, we just think we say the name of Jesus and everything should be right without the relationship. You know what happens to weak warriors? They get hurt and they hurt other people. If you're a weak warrior, if you're a weak person, if you're a weak Christian, the reason we keep thumping on you and preaching to you to get strong is because we watch you getting hurt. And eventually, because you're one of us, the body of Christ, you're going to end up hurting people around you. Could it be your spouse? Could it be your kids, your best friends, your pastor? Could you be used, Judas, to split your own church that you love and you help build? Are you going to be the next person that gets mad and leaves and takes 10 people with you? Seriously? Because that's life. It's war. War. So through God, our weapons are strong enough and they're powerful enough to repel Satan's attack on your mind, in your soul. One of my friends, he's in heaven now. I've known him forever, actually since the 70s. I think Dr. Fred Price, I think he's one of the greatest heroes of modern faith. Amen. That guy, what a faith champion, man. And you know, and he lived it. He taught it, but he lived it. I don't know if you know Fred Price or knew who he was, but he's an absolute champion in my eyes. And you know, Brother Fred said, Pastor Dr. Fred, Apostle Fred said, the battle's in your mind. And until you win the battle in your mind, you don't get to win the battle.
No. That's good.
John Osteen said something similar. I don't know which one got it from who. But John Osteen said, the battle is in your mind, and until you win the battle in your mind, you're going to keep losing the battle. Because this is the arena of faith, not this. This is the home of faith. This is the battlefield of faith. I hope I'm helping you this morning. Amen. Praise God. That's my alarm. I shall ignore it today. I purpose to set it early because I want to give you my list. And I love to preach and help you and teach. And I would just preach and teach all my time away or talk to you or whatever I'm doing right now. But I brought the list that I carry with me of the weapons of my warfare. Amen. You can write them down. You probably want to get the recording later so you can go back. I'll try to read them slow, but I want to give you the whole list with the amount of time I have left. If we have weapons, which we do, and they're mighty through God, which they are, then what are those weapons? What are the weapons of your warfare? And they want to say, well, they're mighty through God. Yeah, I didn't ask you how they work. I asked you what they were. What are they? Here we go. This is the list I carry. The most nuclear weapon you have is the name of Jesus. Don't mess with it. Don't play with it. And launch it whenever you need. And only when you need a nuclear level weapon. Don't use it as a common tool. Because Satan will trick you to treat it as common. And pretty soon you'll be using it. Like I hear people pray, Lord, I thank you, bless this food in Jesus' name. Satan hears that and says, that's it? That's the only depth that Jesus... Now, you should pray in Jesus' name. Don't misunderstand. But you get used to just throwing it out there. Thank you, Lord, we bless everybody in Jesus' name. Cool, that's the right thing to do. But are we really sending that as the most potent weapon we have? Or does it just become common? Because Satan wants you to make it common. Number two is the word. There's multiple verses for all of these, but because of this morning and I'm kind of out of time, you go research and find the verses, okay? Number two is the word of God. Nobody on the planet gets to use the word of God as a two-edged sword but born-again Christians. Nobody. No other religion. No pagan, no heathen, no matter how smart, no matter how educated, no matter their roots, their race, they don't get to use the word of God. If they try, it won't work. It's our two-edged sword.
Yes.
And the cool thing about the word of God the Bible teaches us it's not only part of our weaponry, it's a piece of our armor. That means that the word of God in your life and mine can be used for defense and offense.
Yes. Right.
Both sides of our life. To protect ourselves and then to go to war with that thing. Right. Praise God. I think you know that. The word of God. Now, when I say the word of God, I want to say this right. Notice I didn't say the word Bible.
Right.
You can't have the word of God without the Bible.
Yeah.
The word of God is the Bible. But the word Bible isn't in the Bible. It's a word from Latin translated, other languages too. And literally what the word biblios or Bible means, a collection of truths that could prepare the soul of man to make heaven. That's what the word Bible means. But when we say Bible, we mean the word of God that we preach from and study. But that's not so powerful. I don't mean to belittle it because that's not me. The logos has its place. But until it is read and digested and regurgitated and spoken, it's not rhema. It doesn't have life in it. It won't. You got to say to the mountain. You can't pray to the mountain. You can't wish the mountain of your life would leave, whether it's cancer, depression, divorce. You can't hope it goes. You got to speak to that thing. And you can talk all day as a human, but if it don't come out of here after you digest it, I'll help you. You digest the word of God and what your pastor teaches and what you read by meditation. We are in one of the greatest tricks of Satan in modern man. Think about this. We got microwaves. We got cell phones. We got watches that talk, and we got cars that drive themselves. And we still don't have any time to sit on the porch and just meditate. What did Pastor teach us on Sunday? Because the trick of Satan is to just keep us going. So we never digest the word. So it always stays in a form of logos. It's never converted to rhema, life, where we can launch it as a mighty weapon. And when you can, it works.
Amen.
It works. Number three is the blood of Jesus. The blood covenant, who has that but us? Most religions of the world, as massive as they are, they reject the blood of Jesus. They reject Jesus. They might call him a prophet or, yeah, he lived once. It's only you and me. It's only the born-again Christian that constantly declares the blood. Now we got famous, maybe popular voices in our pulpits saying Westerners don't want to hear about blood. We don't care about the blood covenant. We don't even understand the blood covenant. It's like, man, I want to track those preachers down and have a backyard meeting with just him and me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
When the blood covenant is one of the most powerful weapons ever given to a human being, and nobody's got it but us. Everybody could have it, but they don't. But we do. Number four. You'll probably dislike these as I go down the list. Number four is tithing. Tithing is one of the only things in your Bible where God promised that he would rebuke the devourer. Now, you and I can rebuke the devourer all day long. I think of my little brother. He wasn't very tough. I had three brothers, two younger, one older. Two are in heaven. My younger brother, you're... He wasn't very tough. I mean, I think everybody's sister could have just whipped him.
Oh, no.
But he had a big mouth. He's always picking some fight. And where I come from in the little village where I was, we fought every day. That's what we did. We fought behind the barber shop. Because behind the barber shop in our little town was a little green field, about half the size of the section. And you can get out there and get a good fight going. And so my brother would pick a fight and say, I'll see you after school behind the barbershop. And then I'd find out about it, and I thought, oh, mama's going to cry, another broken tooth, broken nose, and my little brother. So he'd be out there. Now, he was brave. He just wasn't tough. That's a bad combo. That's a really bad combo. So he'd roll his sleeves up, and he'd take on the biggest guy. And I remember more than one day, not every day, he got beat a lot, but one day he's out there and I stepped around the corner like this and stood behind him. And I already beat that other guy like Weekly.
Weekly.
We almost nicknamed him Weekly. But he liked picking on the little guys. So when I stepped there, my little brother doesn't know anything. I stepped behind him and I'm about this much taller than he was then, broader shoulders. And I already knew that guy. And so here's little David facing Goliath. He doesn't know. All of a sudden, the guy's ready to fight, and he sees me. My brother didn't. And he goes, I don't want to fight today. He rolls down his sleeves. And my brother's name's Matthew. He said, Matthew, I'm not fighting you. And I forfeit. Oh, man. For my brother, it was cock-a-doodle-doo. His chest went up, man. And then I tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around. He goes, oh, man, I thought I had him. Sorry for the lame illustration, but that's what tithing is.
Yep.
You can rebuke the devourer, and you're supposed to. It isn't always just Satan. It's cancer. It's poverty. It's divorce. It's depression. That's what. These are the things that devour our life. So when God said, you bring in the tithe, the first of all, and you present it properly, I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Now, he'll also open the windows of heaven. I want to hear more teaching on this. I've been teaching on this forever, wrote a book on it, have a whole series on tithers' rights. I believe in this. I've watched it. But, you know, even like when my Vicky got cancer that day and we left the doctor's office, that doctor was pretty clear. He showed us all the pictures. He said, now, Reverend, listen to me. You better take this really serious. This is aggressive. This is invasive. This kills almost all women, and I don't think there's a thing I can do to save your wife. I'll just give it my best shot. I said, do it, Doc. But we happen to know another physician.
Yes.
And if you'll work with him, my wife will live and not die.
Yeah.
Right? So we went out in the car. I said, Vicki, let's talk about the worst thing that could happen and get it off the table. What's the worst thing that could happen? She said, I could die. I said, and that bugs you? She said, yes, it does. I won't see my grandbabies get married. I won't see my no great-grandkids. I won't get to finish my ministry. Yeah, that bugs me. I said, I get it. It would bug me. And so now that we got that over with, that the worst thing that could happen is you're going to go to heaven and we're going to miss you, but we're going to see you there. So,
right.
So settled, done. Let's not talk about that anymore. We're agreed, right, Vicki? Yes. Then let's kill this fear, because I learned even in natural war, fear will kill you way before an enemy bullet.
All right.
So let's deal with the fear of this thing. What are we afraid of? You dying? Are you afraid, but not being whole, having something perpetually wrong with you? This disease kills something in your body and it never comes with. Let's talk about the fear, and then let's kill it right now. And we did. You know, that was the second thing. The third thing we did, I never started my car yet. We're still in the doctor's office parking lot. I said, Vicki, we're going to call upon the God of the tithe.
Amen.
And he's going to rebuke this cancer.
Hallelujah.
Now, we're going to rebuke it, but he's going to. And cancer may spit and holler and swing on us, but it's going to bow its knee to the Almighty God. And so we did that and this and that. And a couple of days later, I'm walking in the house. Vicki's there. And I heard her talking. I thought maybe one of my kids were there or something. And she was in praying in the bedroom to God. And I started, the door was cracked to our bedroom. I should open. The Lord said, freeze. Just stand here. So I did. Isn't it great to hear God's voice?
Yeah. I love it.
Amen.
And I heard Vicki say this. Heavenly Father, I'm your daughter. I'm not trying to be your daughter. I am your daughter.
What?
And you're my God. You're not trying to be my God. You are my God. And she said this statement. I almost stopped her. She said, now Mark and I aren't fake. From the day we've met you, we've been nothing but serve you. We tithe. We're tithers. And she said, check our tithing record. Lord, and if it's not Hezekiah level, then I'm okay to die.
Wow.
But if you check how I have served you and my husband, then I expect you as my father to kill this enemy and get it out of my body. Now, the reason I almost stopped her is when she said, check this, check that, check our tithing record. I'm getting like, hey, wait a minute, honey. Hang on a second. Let's review this first. Just in case there's a little chink in the armor there. You know what I mean? I think we're good, but come on. You're going to say, prove me or kill me. Let's have a conversation. Include me in this. But the Lord said, no, you shut up and listen to this holy woman. 32 days later, the same doctors had all the pictures, all the MRIs, CAT scans, blood tests. You know how it is. They called us in. You know the story probably, but they called us in. And the doctor said, there's something we got to show you. And I'm a little irritated. You know, you're in a battle for life.
Yeah.
I said, Doc, listen, man, I respect you. But we know all the bad news. He said, well, I want to show you something. We don't need to see. He showed us the pictures, the trays. He just stopped him and he goes, I have a question for you. I said, what is it? He says, do people interrupt you when you preach?
Oh! Leave it to a doctor.
I said, no. He said, well, then would you mind sharing the courtesy among professionals?
Oh, wow.
I said, all right, go ahead. He's got all the technicians. There's like 20 people in this room, table after table of proof. So he says, yeah, Doc, we know that. Next table. Yeah, we know that. Next table. Now I'm almost ready to say, Vicki, you don't need to go through this. Go sit out in the lobby till I come out. And the Lord said, will you just settle down? So I tried to. And I get to the last table. No, the second to the last table. And that doctor says, you see all these white dots and spots? And I said, yes, sir. He said, that's your wife's body. That's cancer. It was too much to remove. Mm-hmm. It's too scattered. It's moving too fast. There'd be no end to cutting. There'd be multiple surgeries. And I don't think she can live long enough to get it all. I said, Doc, listen, I respect you and what you do. I already know this. Why do I have to hear this again? He said, because I want you to see the next table. Because you see this table, Reverend, this table is what your wife should look like. This table is a woman without cancer. As a matter of fact, this is your wife.
Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah.
This is her. 32 God. Days later, and we can't find a thing in this body. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. I said, wow. Keep talking, Doc. Come on, finish your report, Bubba. He said, I walked you through that, Red, because I had, for my own conscience sake, proved to you that we weren't guessing and we did not make a mistake. And though in my field we hate this word, your wife has got a miracle. Because all of those other tables are living proof with every piece of equipment man has that your wife not only had it, it was aggressive, invasive, and was going to kill her. And today, like a month later, we can't find anything in this body anywhere. And I wanted you to know we weren't guessing and we didn't blow it. You just flat out got a miracle.
Wow.
2008, find of anything like it since.
Amen.
Why? Tithers' rights.
Yes. Yes.
But you got a tithe and you got a tithe right and you got a tithe with your heart and you got a tithe with your hand and you got a tithe with your mouth. And make your profession, and then you got to call upon the God of the tithe in the most crucial hour. and not just say, oh, I paid my tithe, I guess it didn't work. Tithe don't work. The God of the tithe works. You can send your tithe anywhere you want to. That, I don't know. The tithe isn't just like this automatic thing. I spent more time on that on purpose because it's such a powerful, neglected weapon. And never, ever, never consider your tithe a giving. You are not giving when you tithe because that tithe was never yours. You're just presenting to God what's his. It's like one of my best longtime missionary buddies, we've been all over the world together, Gerald Davis. And Gerald, he was teaching in our church in Michigan, and he was, and while he was teaching, he had paused and he said, Lord, I'm teaching on tithing and giving, but this is in my pulpit. He says, but it dawns on me that I don't have the benefits of this. And the Lord said to him in the pulpit, because you've never given me much of yours, Gerald. You only return to me what's mine. You don't have any seed in the ground. You give me the first 10th, the 90 that's left is your 100%. I seldom get a gift from you. You seldom sacrifice yours. You're very faithful at giving me mine, but you can't count it as seed because it never was yours. You're just giving me what's mine. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
By the way, Gerald changed that. Still alive today. Became a very, very rich preacher man once he started giving his sacrifice. And could separate the tithe, which is a weapon, from giving, which is a privilege.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That statement was worth a double offering.
Right.
Can I finish? Or we? Okay. I'm watching my clock. I know some of you got to go back to work and everything. But I'll read my list. I won't preach from it the best that I can. Okay. So number one was the name of Jesus. Number two, the word of God. Digested, Rhema. Number three, the blood covenant. Number four, tithing. Number five is your testimony. Revelation 12:11 says, this is how we overcame Satan. Three things. You remember what they were? The blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony, telling my story, and not loving my natural life. Now, that doesn't mean breathing. It means the way you're living. You gave up all the little things that you like in order to walk with God. Number six, fellowship with the believers is a weapon. That's why Satan wants to keep you out of here. Number seven, angels are ministering spirits. Are you releasing them properly? They hearken unto the voice of the word of God, not your voice. Only reason your voice commands angels, or maybe I should say dispatches angels, is when you voice the word of God. That's what they hearken to. Number eight, your confession, your own mouth. Are you pronouncing death over you? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Are you a tree of life to your family, or are you death? Are you killing your marriage with your mouth? Are you killing your business with your mouth? Are you killing your ministry with your mouth, or are you spreading life? Number nine is positive resistance. You know what you're doing by sitting here today? You're resisting Satan by serving God. Positive resistance. You can call the negative resistance. You can call the devil. He's all like the seven charismatic renewal. We called him Big D, the Big S, Old Slewfoot.
Yeah,
that was a real popular name. Old Slewfoot, idiot. I mean, we had all kinds of names. You little imp. And he doesn't care.
Yeah.
All of those names, he's probably saying, yeah, thank you. That's what I am. Right. But when you have positive resistance, reading your Bible, going to church, praying, forgiving your brother, worshiping, praising, serving, giving. Number 10, prayer language. We touched on that another service, so I won't right now. Your prayer language, Jude 20. You not only build yourself up, right? It's better than any multiple vitamin you can take. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Number 11 is the eyes of your spirit being open. Or some people call it the eyes of your understanding. But I call it seeing what Satan's doing. So you can see him coming. You learn his patterns. Right? Now, I don't work too much on like new cars because they're all electric and computerized. And I haven't got into that. But the other day, a friend of mine has an old hot rod. I'm an old 60s muscle car guy, and I got a couple of them, and so I've rebuilt them. And this guy, he says, I got this problem with my car, Doc. And when I nail it, step on it, it's got this sputter. I said, well, start it up and let me hear it. I said, man, the accelerator. I said, all we got to do is hang on a minute, get my little screwdriver. We'll take the port out of the carburetor. We'll let some gas run out. We'll turn the little dinky idle thing and the little dinky jet back in there, and we'll seat it about right, rev it again. Hang on a minute. Turn it. Now rev it. Woof. Yeah. You're all set. You owe me $20. I'm a cheap mechanic. Because I do not guarantee my work. So having that know-how to get the power level, to tweak your life to get the power level just right. And all of a sudden, you're running, there's 8 cylinders. You're running on 5.5, and now you got all 8. Pretty powerful. Can I give you 2 more? Thanks. 12 is knowledge. We're easily destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why you can't depend on your brain to pull up verses you learned 45 years ago. You got to keep learning them, refreshing them, rememorizing them to correct, you know. And then number 13, we kind of touched on this. It's kind of a bonus point. You got to go back and dig out the utterances, the commands, the commissions, the appointments, the prophecies that were spoken over you, and go to war according to them. Yes. Now, sometimes God prophesies things over us, and they don't come to pass. We didn't war accordingly, maybe even backslid for a while, went away for a while, dropped the ball. And you pick that back up, and there may be things in there that is too late now. The time has passed for that to come to pass, right? Yeah, because we're not Old Testament prophets. That's a death trap. Yeah. We're New Testament. And the New Testament says prophecy is subject to fail, not subject to come to pass. You got to war it, pray it, confess it, believe it, and keep it before God if you want New Testament utterances to come to pass in your life. It's how it works. Old Testament, that was a voice of God mandate, but New Testament, we only know in part, so we prophesy in part, and that's how we go to war. Did I help you at all today?
Yeah.
Father, I pray. Let's clap once for Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I thank you right now. May we echo. Help us to get this list of weapons deep in our soul. Let us go to war. It's just called life. Let us go to life.
Yes.
Let's go live.
Yes.
Let's live our life the way God designed. Let's go get them the way God designed. Let's live free. Let's live whole, healed, prosperous, peaceful, joyful, conquering, victorious, the way God designed. I pray that over every single one of us. May we never again make excuses for slacking and reasons for not performing. Never again. And may we deal with our conscience. If we don't have time today, then may we come back with Pastor Darren Osborne tonight at 6:15 and get to this altar and deal with our either seared conscience, where we're not as sensitive to God as we were, or worse, our dirty conscience, and get that thing scrubby-dub-dubbed so it can be our best friend as we just live. Isn't that good? In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And praise God.
All right. There we go. There we go. Stop the share. Start the video. Let's see. Stop the video. Minimize the video. There's these guys. Hold on. I'm missing one screen here. Nope. Nope. It's all right. Everybody be all right. What'd you think?
Fine.
Wasn't that awesome?
It is very, very, very good word.
What an amazing word. And such powerful revelation about your spirit, soul, your body and searing your conscience. And then the spiritual weapons. Isn't it something how many spiritual weapons are in there that you and I would never think about being a spiritual weapon to us? But they're actually a spiritual weapon. I've said for years, probably next to the word, the name of Jesus and the word of God, the two most powerful weapons. And then the power of the Holy Spirit. The tithe has to be one of the most powerful weapons and armor all in one. Because you don't pay your tithe like a bill. You worship the Lord with his tithe. Say it that way. I worship you with your tithe, Lord. Because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. And when you worship him with the tithe, you're saying, you are the God, the financial God of my life. You are the financial God of my life. Now, I want you to see this very, specifically. That tithe, I love how I made that statement. The tithe isn't doing the work. The God of the tithe is doing the work. But the God of the tithe can't do the work until you and I tithe. One of the greatest words of God is that you and I get to give back to God what it is, and then he promises us to bless us. What a powerful weapon the tithe in itself is, because it's rebuking the devourer out there. It's just rebuking the devourer. And thank God that you have the ability to make things happen.
Yeah.
And get involved in this.
And stand on it boldly.
Yeah.
I love the way Vicki just had no doubt in her mind.
No.
I know what this is.
That same thing.
Yeah.
And he's standing outside the door. I'm like, wait, hold it. Let's just be sure.
Yeah.
Not because God's going to come down and squash you if you don't have every tithe paid. You know, you worship the Lord with it. Because the enemy's going to strike. Don't worry about God. God's the most loving, benevolent Father there is.
Amen.
But when you and I know to tithe, and then we don't tithe, you don't have that bold confidence. And when you start bragging on being a tither and you're not, the enemy can hit you. Now you got a pride thing going on. And you don't want any of that going on in your life. Powerful, powerful weapon. I thank God for the tithe. Thank God for this message. Now, tomorrow night, because we're all done, and I'll stay on after tithe or after communion is done for you to talk if you want to. You and I are empowered with the most powerful spiritual weapons there. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not man-made. They're not earthly. But they only work through faith. You have to see the word. You have to speak the word. You have to do the word. Otherwise, you're just a hearer of the word. And a hearer doesn't get anything done. A doer gets something done.
Amen. Amen.
So joy, what a weapon joy is. Joy is a weapon and an armor. So praise and worship. I mean, you know, that list of weapons and armor that he has in there, we could go on for hours.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, that's the top 13. He gave us 13. I actually have 15 on my list.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It's not an end-all list. He's giving you the ones that he carries with him. In Jesus' mighty name.
Now, Mary had a question when you were
All right. Is it a quick question? What do we got?
Well, I think so. You had typed in weak warriors get hurt because others get hurt, and I think that's what she was saying, and I don't understand that one.
Right. Well, let's grab it because Let me see what I said. Weak warriors get hurt and cause others to get hurt. Every time you and I get hurt and something gets in tight enough to hurt us, if we don't deal with that pain and that hurt immediately, then we're going to take that hurt out and then begin to hurt other people with it. Why? Because if you got a wound in your heart, you start sharing it outside with everybody else. So you got to get that wound removed, that hurt gone, and most of all, be a powerful warrior so the enemy can't be hitting you and hurting you. There is a place to get in the Christian life where you don't ever have to be hurt again. The enemy might shoot, people might do all kinds of things, tell all kinds of things, write all kinds of things, all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't have to hurt you. You might say, but Pastor, it does. Well, it doesn't have to. And what'll make it not hurt you is you and I making a decision. Nah, whatever. That's just a human. He's running his mouth. He's doing whatever, but it can't hurt me. What part of the Bible says that the enemy can hurt us? Well, when you lose somebody, doesn't it hurt if you let it? If you accept the pain, you're going to get it. Well, Pastor, if I punch you in the face, it would hurt. Yeah, that's true. Sure, I'm not on an extreme on this. But see, what you and I got to do is we got to start calling things what it is. And somebody attacking with their words, that doesn't cause hurt. That is a warring enemy against me. Jesus looked at Peter, turned around to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Well, everybody says Jesus was calling Peter Satan. No, Peter spoke a word about Satan. And Jesus said what that word was, and he named it for what it was. That's you, Satan, you're talking. So, and people run their mouth, do their deal, whatever. That's they're a lost human, and they're saying things. Name it what it's supposed to be and what it actually is, and it won't cause you that pain down on the inside of you. Make sense of that? Mm-hmm. All right. Because I can keep preaching it for a long time, but I'm not going to do that. Father, we thank you for this great word. Thank you for the word that's coming tomorrow night with Brother John Bevere. Thank you for every word the Holy Spirit has brought us into since we started this. We receive it from you. We enjoy it. And we thank you that it comes alive every day when we need to. Bless every person who heard this word this evening. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now for the New Covenant worship, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We can talk more about the weapons when communion is done. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28 and verse 31. Here we go. I'm going to move right into it because I want to keep going. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Isn't that an awesome word?
Awesome.
Why? Because as he is, so are we on this earth. And Jesus is the head and we're his body. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. There is no fear in love. And there is no fear in the communion element. If you come here tonight to make a mess and make fun of God and mock him, you will drink to yourself damnation. I wouldn't recommend that in any sense of the word. But if you're just here wanting God, then the communion elements are available for you. You have to be in God in order to receive the benefit of this and the blessing of this. So we're going to pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, and the prayer of hallelujah, aren't you glad you're in God? All right? Now, here's what we got to do. You and I want us to be very sure. By you praying tonight, I want everybody to pray with us this prayer. Open your mouth and pray it right out loud. Why? Because when you do, you are proclaiming again the word of God that Jesus, I make you my Lord and I receive you in my life. You'll actually be able to, you'll experience it. You'll be like, wow, that's Jesus and he's in me. Thank you, Lord. And you'll be right with God in the next 90 seconds. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John
3:16.
When I believe in you,
you
give me everlasting life.
And
I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Aren't you glad he loved you? Now, put your hands out like this and say, I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
And I receive you into my life right now.
And I receive you into my life right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power,
understand the word of God,
pray in my heavenly language,
and live a successful life
as a believer every day.
I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. We love your wonderful, soft heart to God, Mary. That's wonderful. Now, that's the first time you prayed that prayer. We welcome you into the family of God. Welcome, 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 welcome. What just happened in your life? You went from darkness into light. Why? God never does something to you. He takes you from to. You just went from fear to faith. Why? Sin causes fear of death and hell. But Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, of our faith, just came inside of you to live in you.
Hallelujah.
That's an amazing thought. You just went from your sin, which can't be, to Jesus' righteousness, which he gave you, all you got to do is receive it. Somebody shout, glory, hallelujah. Brother Roger beat me before I even got it out of my mouth. Glory, hallelujah. Now, the Father looked over at Jesus right then while you were praying and said, adopt them into the family of God. You know what happened? When he adopted you, you are now heir of God and joint heir with Jesus, God Almighty. He is not only God to you, but he's your father.
Amen.
Sure, he's a judge. the most just judge there is. Sure, he's a warrior, the most righteous warrior there is. And that's the relationship he wants to build with you every single time you, every day, not every single time, every day he wants to build that relationship that you are his son and he is your father. We had 5 messages last week on that. Powerful messages. Now, what do you got to do now, Pastor? Walk with God every day? Say this with me. Jesus, help me walk with you.
Jesus, help me walk with you.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
Can you pray that prayer? You can. Pray it in the morning when you wake up. Pray it at noon when you stop for your lunch. Pray it in supper time. Pray it when you lay down to go to sleep at night. And I'm going to tell you what's going to go on in your life. He will help you. Why? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me and not the voice of the stranger. If I don't teach you to pray, they put my email address and website in there. So you have the ability to follow us and be in contact with us. Go to the website. The website has the communion process service right on it, written form. You can actually receive communion in your home every day, whether you can be connected with us or not. We want you to come back every night right about this time on this channel, and we'll be receiving communion. But if you can't make it, guess what? You can click on SamuelJCottle.com, and the communion service is right there, and you'll be able to receive communion. Start your day right out. Start your communion. Start your morning time of reading the Bible and praying out. Oh, I just gone to preach. Shoot me an email. Tell me you got saved. I would love to hear that, Pastor. I prayed the prayer tonight. What do I do next? I prayed the prayer. Let me tell you my story. Let me give you a prayer request. Just the email address is there for any of these. If you email me and I don't respond to you right away, then do it again because you might be in the spam folder. And then find another way to contact me, like Messenger or something. Let me know. Or come on here again and say, hey, Pastor, I emailed you. Didn't hear nothing back from you. Because I will email you, because that's my assignment, is to help you walk with God in Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready to receive the communion elements with us? Get you some bread. I got a little soup cracker here, whatever you call this. And I got some grape juice. And I like my cup because though your sins are red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow when you put the blood of Jesus on your life. Ready? All of you on Zoom with us, turn your mic on and say this with us. I want you to pray the prayer with us right out loud. I like everybody to hear you in the background. Don't put your cameras on, put your mic on. Ready? Do this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion.
Pray this from the depths of your heart. Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity. You got to slow down a little bit.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace
is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my
body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind. My will and my emotions.
There is nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying.
Every joint is supplying.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From the body of Christ in my community.
From the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Let's receive the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you did it all for me. Thank you. That you did it all for me. Thank you. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And behold, all things have become new.
And behold, all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass
and
over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My robes
are made
white.
And I will always be
the
glorious church,
the glorious church
without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Let's receive the juice together. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing our song. Everybody come on, sing with us. You ready? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus has that kind of power in our lives any day.
Amen.
What a night. Wouldn't you agree? What an amazing night. Now, for our close partners, when the program's finished, we're going to stick around on Zoom for a while. I almost said ham radio. We're going to stick around on ham radio for a while. All right? Stick around on Zoom for a while. You got some more questions, we want you to come and be a part of it with us. Honestly, we truly do. Those of you that maybe this first time you checked in with us, like, wow, this is pretty cool, Pastor. Yeah, it is. It's a great place. It's a great place. The Holy Spirit set this up. And we just welcome you to come and be a part. And make sure you text us, email us. And may God richly bless you. May God richly bless you and your family and everything you do. You can listen to this program again as soon as it's finished. And I encourage you to do so. Remember, tomorrow night, at normal time, we're going to start a new series by John Bevere called Driven by Eternity. It's a powerful, powerful series.
Yeah, very.
Powerful series. To help you get ready for that day of judgment on the other side. Pastor, I thought I was a Christian. I wasn't going to go to judgment. Oh, no, everybody will be judged. The wicked will be judged and go to eternal damnation. You and I will be judged, and we will go to eternal life. Our judgment is for our works to receive a crown. Their judgment is for eternal damnation. So I just encourage you, you're not going to want to miss this. They're great sessions. They're about a half an hour long each. And when you get finished, you're going to be like, wow. In the next 2 days, or 3 days, you're going to go through another whole series of those spiritual, holy God wow moments where you're like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, no. God help me. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We want you to be there with us. We honestly do. We want you to be there with us. And you're going to thoroughly enjoy it. It will not be broadcast live on Facebook or YouTube. It's only going to be in the Zoom. So make sure you connect with us on Zoom tomorrow night. And if you're not connected to us and you'd like to be, honestly, I welcome you. I truly, honestly welcome you to come and be a part of us. Really. And, but you're going to have to come to me to get the code because I don't put it out publicly. I'm not going to share it because we got to keep our room in good shape and we don't want no enemies in here. And we are wiser than the enemy.
Amen.
And we are wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Amen. Well, it's what we always say. Our closing verses are these. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the very last verse of the Bible, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen. And amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See you soon.